Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Parsha class learning at Ohel. I would like to dedicate this class to the Aliyah Neshama of my husband's grandmother and grandfather, actually. His grandmother's first Yortzeit, Babi Rivka's first Yortzeit, is today. Hey, Iyar, Rivka Bas Menachem Mendel Halevi, Allah Shalom, my children. She was Kanaina Hara. We're not exactly sure her age, 103, 105. Oh, wow. And because she lived in Toronto, and I'm from Toronto, I would say that out of all the New York great-grandchildren, my children were really zocha to know their great-grandmother, because whenever we visited Toronto, we always went to see Bibi Rivka. In fact, they were the last grandchildren to see her. They saw her Arab, great-grandchildren to see her. They were zocha to see her Arab Shabbos Haggadah, Arab Shabbos Pesach, and she went into the hospital that Shabbos. And my husband, with tremendous foresight and siyata deshmaya, took a picture of each of the kids with her, individual picture, and then her with the four children. And that was the last picture she took with any of the grandchildren or great-grandchildren, and I was able to make for each of them for their room a blow-up, a 5x7 in a frame of each of them with Bibi Rivka, mamish, the day before she went to the hospital for the last time. So her neshama should have an aliyah. She should continue. She survived Churban Europa. She survived with a number on her arm, but with her faith, and she built a new family, and she should be a melech sharis, her family, and all of Klal Yisrael. It is also my husband's grandfather's yahrzeit. She was widowed very, very young. It's his 46th yahrzeit on the 8th of Iyar. Simcha Moshe ben Shlomo, alav hashalom, so their neshamas should have aliyos. So of course, amen, thank you. So of course, it's Yom HaZikaron. And it is Yom HaTzmaut tonight into tomorrow. So I thought that we would have a class dedicated to these Inyanim, Inyani Diyoma, Yom HaZikaron, as well as Yom HaTzmaut, and present some perspective and insights into the day. So the first thing I'm going to start by quoting is from Miriam's song. It is the story of Miriam Peretz, a painful book that is full of amunah. And one thing that it's important to note is that Miriam Peretz, who I speak about all the time, I'm sure you've already heard me speak about Miriam Peretz. If not, we don't learn enough together. Her son Uriel was killed in the north in 1998 at the age of 22, and then her son Eliraz was killed by Hamas in Gaza in battle in 2010. He was born in 1978. He was the father, so 31 years old, the father of four young children when he fell in battle. And she's very outspoken. She travels around the world. She lectures. She inspires. She writes. But what we do have to remember is that there is no one right, chas v'shalom, or no right wrong. Every family, every individual responds differently. Some are more outspoken. Some wish to remain anonymous. Parsha Shmini, and after the death of Aaron's two sons, and Moshe spoke to Aaron, and the Pasuk famously tells us, after Nadav and Avihu died, Vayudom Aaron, Aaron became silent, Aaron was silent. My friend Zahava Farbman says that an abnormal reaction to an abnormal situation is perfectly normal. An abnormal, she's going for a doctor right now, she's very well known, she's on Hatzalah, she's the head of High Life and Bereavement Department, she also travels all over lecturing. An abnormal reaction to an abnormal situation is perfectly normal. So it's very important and profound. So Miriam Peretz embodies or gives voice, if you will, to the thousands who have been affected by acts of terror at the hands of the wicked Arab terrorists, Yimach Shmam V'Zichram. Whether the family is silent or whether they are vocal, their pain is one and the same with different expressions. So I want to begin by quoting from the book Miriam's Song. Of course, we move from Yom HaZikaron into Yom HaAtzmaut, which represents the strength of our people. We go from mourning into rejoicing. Am Yisrael does not stay in a perpetual state of mourning. There are halachic definitions and restraints to mourning. And after we mourn, the halacha tells us that we have to get back up. What's so interesting about this, I'm going to be quoting from when she lit the torch 2 years ago, 3 years ago, May 2014, Miriam Peretz was one of the torch lighters at the official state ceremony on Har Herzl. Interestingly, my daughter was actually at that state ceremony. She was turning 11 the next month, and her grandfather took her to Israel for a week, and they had tickets. They were at the official state ceremony on Har Herzl for Yom HaZikaron, moving into Yom HaTzmun. When I had the opportunity to meet Miriam Peretz, I said, my daughter was there. When you lit the candle, she says, your daughter was there. Wow. Okay, so I want to quote a couple pages from her book about her candle lighting. Then came May 2014. Keep in mind, she lost Uriel. Then she lost Eli Ruz, her daughter-in-law Shlomit. She says is now, like me, an orphan, along with four young orphans. I was asked to light a torch on Har Herzl at the yearly ceremony on Yom HaTzmaut. It was Israel's 66th Independence Day. So now we're at 66. The request reached me in a strange manner. It's actually funny how she tells it over. I gave a talk in Jerusalem to a special forces unit of the Marines. One of them asked me a question that challenged me profoundly. Was it worth the price? He said, today, in the view of the atmosphere prevailing in the country, don't you think that the death of your sons was unnecessary? We had a deep discussion. I had a discussion with him about seeing the positive in the country. I finished the talk with him with a feeling of satisfaction. I looked at my phone. 10 text messages flashed on the screen. This is Yitzhak Zonenstein from the Government Public Relations Office. Please get back to me ASAP. ASAP? Should I call him right away? It was 11 p.m. I called the number. A voice said, hello, Mrs. Peretz. The torch lighting committee, it was women that year, it was women that year in 2014 who all lit the torch. The torch lighting committee has chosen you to be one of the torch lighters. The topic is time for women this year. All are women lighters who have done something significant and inspiring. I laughed. I said to this Yitzchak, I think you've made a mistake. I don't know how to light a torch. I only know how to light memorial candles. Maybe you're looking for another Miriam? No, no, he said. The committee has chosen you. It can't be. I'm Miriam Ohayon, her maiden name, from the Hatzerim immigration camp. I made Aliyah from Morocco. The state was ready and waiting. What have I done to help establish it? I'm not deserving of such an honor. The committee has decided, he said, that in your special way, you give bereaved families strength to keep on living. You symbolize the power of life in our people. I hung up the phone. I called my kids. Wow, Eva, what an honor, they said. Out of this world. I don't want this honor. I don't deserve it, I said. So after this, she went to stand in front of the pictures of Uriel and Eli Ruz, and she says, my dear sons, I have had a phone call from the Office of Public Relations. They have informed me you were chosen to light the torch on Yom HaTzmaut. Not me. It is you, my dead sons. You will light the torch of life, faith, hope, and continuity. For an entire hour, I stood in front of those photos and I cried. The next morning at 6:30, I went to Har HaMenuchot and Har Herzl to visit the grave of Eliezer, her husband, and her sons on Har Herzl. Weeping intensely, I told them about the phone call. I need your advice. I need your embrace. Okay, then she says, give me a sign. Her grandson called her. Okay. That day, I began the long process of preparation. I met the other torch lighters. I was thrilled to meet Adina Bar Shalom, the daughter of Harav Avadia Yosef. What an honor to sit next to you. Miriam, it's an honor for me to stand beside you. She talks about the people that she met. During the preparations, I exuded strength and power, as if I was planning to climb Mount Everest. But the day before the ceremony, when I arrived at Har Herzl for the dress rehearsal, I saw my hill, she's talking about Har Herzl, had completely changed. I no longer recognized it. It didn't look like the hill that was my second home. There's a huge difference between my hill of the dead, my hill of longing and pain, and this hill before me, decorated in blue and white flags, full of joy and celebration. And when I saw that, the floodgate opened for my tears. The bus arrived at the tent for us to make our entrance on stage. The other torchlighters climbed off the bus cheerful. As for me, my legs failed me. I couldn't get off the bus. I stayed behind, unable to control my weeping. I felt like screaming, "This isn't for me." The hill has witnessed funerals, tears, mothers, fathers, the wailing of children on their parents' graves. What does this celebration have to do with me? I got off the bus. I went into the tent. My painful cries shook the tent. The other woman came up to comfort me. I was not to be calmed. They called us to go on stage. "Imagine the audience sitting on the grandstand," they said. But I couldn't see any audience. I only saw what was behind the grandstand, the best of the IDF's young soldiers who were buried there. I saw my son's graves. I began to read. She has to read a certain script. "I, Miriam, daughter of Ito and Yaakov Ohain." I took a sip of water. I tried again. "I, Miriam, daughter of Ito. I'm honored to light this torch in honor of the fallen, in honor of my two sons." Again, I lost it. 5 attempts. "I can't do it. Try to understand me," I cried. "I give up. Please leave me alone," I said. The pain at that moment was as intense as when they had died. In my mind's eyes, their caskets were being lowered into their graves all over again. "I don't want to light any torch." Luckily at that moment, Orna Barbive came up to me, a woman in the IDF, Major General. "Miriam, you can do it," she said. "You have taught us how you can do it." And I think this passage so unbelievably illustrates the whole journey of Knesset Yisrael, the whole journey of our people. There are so many times when we are stuck, when we stop, when we can't do it. We're coming off of Yom HaShoah, of course. Today is Yom HaZikaron. There is no normal reaction to an abnormal situation, but there are so many times when every person feels, when the nation feels, we can't go on any longer. How could we light a torch of happiness when we have so much pain, so much difficulty? But we can. On my 6th try, I was able to read the entire text. My shout echoed over the whole area. I did it. I didn't know this entire occasion was being filmed. When the news announcer saw the images on the screen, she burst into tears. She stopped the broadcast. What a brave woman. The moment of truth arrived. The torch lighting ceremony takes place and the conclusion of that terrible day, Yom HaZikaron. How could I switch from memorial to rejoicing? In the blink of an eye, at the beginning of the day, I stood in Har Herzl, standing beside the graves. Just like every year, I'm torn by the question of which son's grave I should stand next to during the siren. That year, I decided to stand next to Eli Raz, and I heard them saying, the Prime Minister was speaking, and he said, "This evening, Miriam Peretz will light a torch." I looked at Eli Raz. "Eli Raz, you hear? The Prime Minister's talking to you and to Uriel." After the memorial ceremony, she went home. She had to get ready. She had to get changed. "I have to get dressed. I have to put on makeup. How could I make such a sudden transformation?" Of Soloveitchik speaks about the Midah of Tzimtzum. The Midah of Tzimtzum is what we call contraction, or the ability to withdraw from oneself. He speaks about the Midah of Tzimtzum, which we learn from the Ribono Shel Olam. The Ribono Shel Olam, the master of the universe, contracts, so to speak, and infinity rests in the finite space. What am I talking about? Vasuli Mikdash Vishachanti Besocha, very, very famous, Shmos 25:8. "Make for me a sanctuary I should dwell within." And the first thing we are commanded to make is the Aron, the holy ark. And on top of the Aron are the Kruvim. And between the Kruvim, so to speak, God's Shechina dwells. And how could it be that God's Shekhinah dwells between the two Kruvim? God's Shekhinah, Malah Haaretz Kevodo. The entire world is filled with the glory of the Ribono Shel Olam. So how could it be that infinity, Ein Sof, no bounds, no end, can dwell between the Kruvim? And speak to Moshe from between the Kruvim. This is Rav Soloveitchik, is what we call Midas Tzimtzum. The attribute of the Almighty to contract himself, for infinity to rest in a finite space. What does this have to do with man? As we have a command to go in the ways of God, to emulate his ways. V'alachta b'drachav. And the Gemara says, and I believe we quoted it last week, actually, V'alachta b'drach of leilech achar midos of Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu. You have to emulate the midos of God. So how do we emulate the midah of Tzimtzum? Salvechik explains that at a time, man must contract or withdraw even from himself. We feel a certain way. We want to embrace a certain way, but the halacha demands otherwise. He gives a personal example from his own life. His wife died, says Rav Salavechik, on Tainis Esther. It was a Thursday. He sat down on the floor. He says, a part of myself went into that grave. I took off my shoes. I sat on the floor. It was cathartic for me, says the Rav. And then Purim came on Motzei Shabbos. I had to get up. I had to put on my shoes. I had to rejoice. Did I feel like rejoicing, says the Rav? No, I felt like mourning. But the halacha demands tzimtzum. Just as God contracts from himself, so too man must contract from within himself. I'll tell you such a beautiful thing. I'm coming to the end of reading the book on Rav Moshe Twersky, Yom HaZikaron. Moshe Twersky was one of the Haranof Kedoshim. He was also the Rebbe, the Mashvia, the Gaon and God of the Torah, Yeshivas Taurus Moshe. He was the oldest grandson of Rav Salavechik. And I just read a story in the book that made such an impact on me because he was really, it was a situation that describes what his grandfather taught and emulated. It was Erev Pesach, and Rav Moshe Twersky was very, very careful with everything that he ate. He only ate food that was prepared in his own home. He was very machmir with himself, not with others, under certain hashkacha. He would only eat the matzahs that he baked on Pesach. He baked his own matzahs, and that's the only matzahs that he was eat. When we talk about the halachic man, they talk about his grandfather, the Rav, being the halachic man. Rav Moshe Twersky, like his grandfather, was the man of halacha. He would only eat his matzahs, and his wife recalls the following story. It's such a powerful story. It was 1 year Erev Pesach, and every Erev Pesach, Rav Moshe Twersky would check his matzos as they were preparing for the Seder. Those were the only matzos he had for the entire Pesach, for Seder night, for Chol HaMoed, Shabbos Chol HaMoed, last day. And he went to check his matzos, and the packer, the bakery, made a mistake. They packed his 2 pounds of matzos into a 1 pound box. And when Rav Moshe Twersky opened the box, he saw that almost all of the matzos were broken. And his wife said, me and my daughter were speechless. The tension in the room was palpable. We didn't know what to do. It was Erev Pesach. There were no other matzahs. My husband did not eat other matzahs. And she says, Rav Twersky's face about her husband became very red. And then after a moment of silence, he started singing. And she said the tension was broken, and he started singing. And a couple of years later, she reminded him of the story, and he said to her, please don't make a big deal about nothing. But it's human tendency to allow those emotions to explode, to allow that anger to pour forth, to allow the mourning to take us over. And yet the halacha demands, v'alacha b'drach, we have to emulate God. Mahu afata. He contracts from himself, so to speak, in order to teach us. And that is the midah of tzimtzum, and that's really what Miriam Peretz is describing. And it's a situation that we face all the time. As a nation, we have to contract, withdraw from our pain in order to celebrate. After the Shiva comes the Shloshim. After the Shloshim may come a year of Avelis. And after that, a person gets back up. The getting back up symbolizes the pulling, the withdrawing from ourselves in order to go on. And Miriam Peretz says, how could I make such a sudden transformation? I was just standing by the graves of Uriel and Eli Ruz, and now I have to go, and I have to put on makeup and a black suit and heels, a different Miriam. Beside the staircase stood the friends who had come for Yom HaZikaron. They looked like they came to welcome a bride who was walking down the stairs going to her chuppah. It was surrealistic, even frightening. I prayed to God, tonight among the flags and the lights, among the thousands of people celebrating and rejoicing, let me see Uriel and Eli Ruz sitting in the audience. You have to help me. Don't let me see their graves. I was afraid I would shake or stumble. But the moment I heard the voice of Yehoram Gaon, the master of ceremony, announcing my name, there was a song, Po Be'eretz Chamdat Avot, here in the land of the treasure of the forefathers, my feet carried me forward. I walked onto the stage with dance steps, as if the weight had lifted, as if the pain and the longing had disappeared in the moment. With each step, I sang to myself, so beautiful, I thought of it this Friday night when I was davening. She sang to herself, Hit na'ari, hisna'ari, me'afar kumi. Get up, be like the youth, get up from the dust again, shake yourself free, which we sing on the Chadodi. Hisna'ari, me'afar kumi, get up from the dust. For just one moment, I was once more Miriam Ohayon, the redhead, full of life and happiness. I heard my father's voice in my ear, my daughter. I saw my mother, Ito, place her hands on my head to bless me. When I lit the torch and I reached the standard phrase recited by all torchlighters, Litif Eret Medinat Yisrael, for the glory of Medinat Yisrael, I knew what that price of glory was. I saw Uriel and Eliraz before me, and I told them, you are the glory. Thanks to you and your friends, we have a state. And today, she said to her sons, because of you, we are celebrating its independence. So I thought it was an extremely impactful piece. She truly reveals her innermost feelings as she beckons us to share the journey. I did see an interview with the Kawa, the fiancé of Hadar Golden, a young woman named Edna, and I saw it over the weekend on Arut 7. Edna said, we, the families, don't need a Yom HaZikaron. They said, it is Yom HaZikaron to us every day. The Yom HaZikaron, though, it's a time for the rest of us to stop and pay attention and reflect and recall. Rabbi Ron Yitzchak Eisenman of Passaic, New Jersey, actually, Rav of Congregation Ahavas Yisrael in Passaic, New Jersey, thank you so much, writes the following vignette about his Rebbe, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zatzal, Yeshivat Har Etzion. So Rav Ron Yitzchak Eisenman writes, during the Yom Kippur War, when the buses arrived at the yeshiva to pick up the boys, to bring them to the front, the boys asked their commander for 1 minute to go to the Beis Medrash. They wanted to ask, the buses arrived. Terrible, terrible war with many, many losses, Rachman al-Itzlan. The boys were going to the front, and they asked for 1 minute before they boarded the buses to go to their Rebbe, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, for a bracha. Before they went out to defend the Jewish people, the Rebbe was nowhere to be found. They couldn't find Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Crestfallen, they began to board the buses. Suddenly, an apparition, a ghost-like image, a figure of a person appeared. It was the figure of a tall, lanky-clad person in his white kittel. He was running towards the buses, and he was carrying something white. As the figure neared, the boys were awestruck. They realized that they were witnessing greatness, Rabbi Eisenman writes. It was Rav Aaron Lichtenstein running towards them, holding toilet paper. He breathlessly approached the boys, and he blurted out, I wanted to help in some way. So I figured, in everyone's haste to leave on Yom Kippur, perhaps nobody remembered to bring this vital necessity. Says Rabbi Eisenman, his hand was in the heavens, his head was in the heavens, his feet were firmly planted in this world. It's an unbelievable story. He wanted to give of something. Many of those boys, of course, did not return from the battlefield. Rachman al-Tzlan, in his compassion, foresight, caring, love, and dedication to his Talmidim, he thought about what could he do for them in some concrete way besides to the bracha. What's also interesting, in Parshas Ki Teitzei L'Melchama Aloivecha, we read about the pasuk, it's in Devarim, chapter 23, Perichav Gimel, V'yasei Tiyelecha, you shall have a shovel al azanecha, in addition to your weaponry, V'haya B'shiftecha Chutz, and it will be, says the Torah. You know, the Torah thinks of everything. The Torah leaves nothing to the imagination. Every aspect of life is dictated by Torah and Halacha, and it will be when you go to the bathroom, v'chafarta ba, you should dig with the shovel, v'shafta v'chisiso estze eso echa, you should cover up the waste after you go to the bathroom. So the Torah is telling you that even in the battlefield, even when you're out, even when you're not at home and you don't have the comforts of the toiletries at home, if you will, you have to be a Derech Eretz person. You have to try and be a Tzanua person. Always remember who Knesset Yisrael is. Why do you have to be, even when you go out to battle, take your shovel to make sure you cover your waste? And this is true today as well. Hashem, your God, is a going in the midst of your camp. Lahatzilcha. Hashem is going to save you. To put the enemy before you. Would that we see the fulfillment of this verse, Amen, come to fruition in our days. Vahaya machanecha kadosh. And therefore, we spoke last week about Kadesh, actually, and living Kadosh. And therefore, your camp shall be holy. V'lo yira b'cha ervas davar, no matter of erva, nakedness literally, should be seen amongst you. V'shav me'acharecha, and return from behind you. So I thought it was very, very compelling. Rashi says there, besides with other implements that you use, take a shovel. So here in Rav Lichtenstein, bringing them toilet paper. It's the first time I told that story over at my Shabbos table, it moved me to tears. I was, after the first time I read it, I was not able to get through the story, but besides with the love and concern, V'haya Machanecha Kadosh, we must always be a holy people because God goes amongst our camp. My husband was at a shir last week by Rav Shai Schechter, and at the Young Ezra Woodman, Rav Schechter was talking about different halachos and different shailas that now come up with the Israeli police force, with the army. They're talking now about Lag Ba'Omer. Can the police force travel on Shabbos up to Meiron? Because Lag Ba'Omer is going to begin after Shabbos. They have to have police there, too many people, etc. But Rav Schechter said something so interesting. And he said, it's the first time we have such shailas. When did we ever have a police force? When did we ever have an army? There are new shailas that come up for the Rabbanim today that we have never had before. Why have we never had them before? Because Medina Yisrael is only 69 years young, so these were never questions that Chazal had to contend with because they weren't relevant until our day and age. Of Strachler, who is the Rav of Sher Shemayim Congregation in Toronto, actually writes, on Tainis Esther, March 4th, 1996, the Dizengoff Center terror attack culminated a period of 8 days. Over those 8 days, four attacks killed 60 people, 60, and wounded 284. Immediately after news of the Dizengoff Center attacked, I remember it was Erev Purim, and mothers were there, and children were dressed in costume. The attack, the news spread through the Beit Midrash. The learning stopped, and we recited Tehillim. Amid our tears, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein rose to address us. He spoke about Jewish history and how we could not despair. You know, my son, I spoke on Shabbos afternoon, and one of the boys came with me. It was a big honor to have him, one of the 11-year-olds. I was very happy to have him along with me, Baruch Hashem. So when we left, it was very cute. He's such a gittin neshama. He says to me, you did very well. So I said, thank you. So he says, I didn't like the stories. It wasn't this year, it was a different year, but I was also talking about it in Yanni Dioma. So he says, I didn't like the story. So I said, why not? So he said, they were very sad. So I said, it's true. I said, but the point of the shir, I said to him, and I hope he understood that, which I think he did, is that we move on from that and we rebuild from that and that we get up from that. Rav Lichtenstein stood up and he spoke about Jewish history. 60 kedoshim in 8 days. We could not despair. The trials of a sovereign Jewish people in their own land. I just told you what Rav Schechter said last week, that we have shayas that we never had before. When did we have a Rav of the police force? Rav Rami Baruch Yahu, he spoke to us on a Thanksgiving learning trip. When did we ever have this? These weren't shayas that anyone knows that they knew how to pass them because it wasn't relevant. There was no such a thing as a people to defend the land. Rav Lichtenstein said, the trials of a sovereign Jewish people in their own land were categorically different from the terror we faced in a stateless exile. Thank you. One second, please. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehi abedvaro.
Amen.
Thank you, Rachi. Ooh, it's cold. So Rav Lichtenstein, after the Dizengoff Center attack, I'm going to repeat that sentence. He spoke about Jewish history. As if we look at Jewish history, how many kedoshim were there?
No, yes.
One is too many. Did you say too many? What did you say?
Too many.
Too many. The Pasuk says in Sefer Shmos, in Perek Yotes, right before Matan Torah, the Pasuk says that Hashem told Moshe to warn the people not to ascend the mountain. You're not allowed to go into the mountain. The only one allowed on the mountain was Moshe. No animals, no people, Aaron, Yeshua, only Moshe. The Shechina Kaviyachal descended, and Moshe. And the Pasuk says there, lest they go up, I don't remember the beginning of the Pasuk, I'm sorry, I don't have a Shemos on me, V'nafal mimenu rav. V'nafal mimenu rav. Many will fall of the people if they go up. So Rashi says there, V'nafal mimenu rav. I'm going with what you just said, Yara. V'nafal mimenu rav. How do you know how many are going to go up? Maybe only one person will go up. So Rashi says there, afilu yachid, even if it's one, ki'ilu rav lefanai. It's as if it is many before me. So when we say too many, if each one is too many before the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what should we say? However, said Rav Lichtenstein, we cannot despair because the trials of a sovereign Jewish people in their own land were categorically different from the terror we faced in a stateless exile. My mother recalls, she has told me that during the 1967 Six-Day War, my grandfather, whose daughter Devorah, Shem Yikom Dama, his daughter Devorah was 1.5 years old. She was murdered in Churban Europa. And during the Six-Day War, my grandfather didn't shut the radio. It was, of course, the days before this. This is all next to me because it's a recorder, by the way. It's on airplane mode. Nothing's incoming. But it was the days before this when you knew the news at every moment in time. The radio did not go off, my mother told me. For those 6 days, while waiting to see the outcome of that unbelievable time, the radio never went off. The Jewish people in their own land is categorically different from the terror we faced in a stateless exile. And it's important for us to remember that. And it's important for us to hold on to that hope. Today's Yom HaZikaron, and how many Rachman HaTzlan uniforms have been hung up, and how many mothers stood next to the grave of their fallen son today in Eretz Yisrael, and how many people, as the siren went off, reflected not on the national laws, but on their own personal Rachman HaTzlan sacrifice for the land. Not only the soldiers, but the victims of terror, the babies who the seniors, the teachers, the rabbis, the mothers. Rachel Chabot was baking cake in her house on Erev Shabbos on a Thursday evening. The mixer was still on the table with the cake batter in the mixer when the terrorists walked in and murdered her and 3 of her children. But we're in our own land, and it's categorically different than the terror we faced in a stateless exile. And something that we have to focus on, these words of Rav Lichtenstein, as we focus on the pain and move into the day of rejoicing, which is the day of Yom HaTzmur, then Rav Lichtenstein addressed the following question: how could we celebrate Purim that evening? And we already spoke about Midah of Tzimtzum, based on the meat of the Rakadosh Baruch Hu, withdrawing, contracting from ourselves. We saw it in Miriam Peretz. We give an example of Rav Soloveitchik. We saw it in Rav Moshe Twersky with the matzos. How could we celebrate Purim that evening with boundless joy that generally typifies this day? Quote, Rav Lichtenstein demanded, what's so interesting is I quoted Rav Soloveitchik, then I quoted Rav Moshe Twersky, who's his grandson. Who is Rav Lichtenstein? That's his son-in-law. Rav Lichtenstein demanded that we immerse ourselves in our celebration despite our tears. He used the categories of halacha to speak about of how avelus is pushed away by a communal yom tov, the categories of the heart to speak to terrorists' true aim. And the true aim of the terrorists is not only to murder us, which is their aim, but to make us lose our sense of who we really are. And that's really what the enemy aims to do. We know is everyone okay? It's okay, we're talking about this? I know, it's heavy. What did my son say? You did well, but I didn't like the stories. So what should we do? This is the story of Knesset Yisrael. What did I want to say? Rav Lichtenstein said that their true aim is to cause us to lose a sense of who we really are. And we see, going back, if we want to look for a proof of that in Chumash as well, we see that by the Medrash tells us, Vayavidus b'nei Yisrael b'farach, they worked, the Israelites, with back-breaking labor. And one of the things Chazal tell us is that they get the men the women's work, and they gave the women the men's work. So what are the Chazal really telling us? I need to know that the men had to do the sewing, and this is probably, in today's day and age, everyone would be up in arms if Chazal tried to say this, because there's no men's work, and there's women's work, and there's equality for all, blah, 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 lemaisa, there's equality for all, but men and women are created different, okay? They just are, and the Torah knows that, and Chazal know that, and we have to know that. So what does it mean that they switched? They gave women men's work, they gave men women's work. So Erech Chazal teaching us, they wanted to strip their identity. Not just Kala Yiben Hayilad Hayar Tashlichu, not just to throw the babies into the river, the Yom HaZikaron, to stand by the graves and remember. But it was more than that. It's to make us lose a sense of who we are as a people, to make us lose a sense of our strengths. That the man should feel like the woman, and the woman should feel like the man, and they should strip away our very self. Lichtenstein said, the terror's true aim is to cause us to lose sense of who we are. And that evening, Rabbi Strauchler writes, he led us in dancing like a man half his age. With remarkable strength, he literally held up his students, who would embrace him amid the singing and the tears. In the middle of the dancing, Rav Yaakov Maidan handed the microphone to Rav Lichtenstein. The entire yeshiva sat around them both. Rav Lichtenstein responded to Rav Maidan's questions. They had a discourse on God and faith. So here we have another example of Tzimtzum. You have another example of what the halacha demands of Knesset Yisrael and the juxtaposition of Yom HaZikaron as we move into the day of Yom HaAtzmaut, 69 years since establishment of Medina Yisrael. Miriam Peretz said that the torchlighters all say, as they light candles, Latif Eret Medina Yisrael, for the glory of the state of Israel. As we look at the situation today, there's a lot of politics. There's a lot of infighting. It's dangerous to consider the infighting because, you know, when I see the pictures of the police against Jews, when the police have to go in and break up Jews who are protesting, it's so painful because it's Jew against Jew and it's brother against brother. And Rav Shlomo, Yaakov Shlomo Taitchan, is Eima Banim Smeich, and I may have said this before Pesach, but it's worth repeating as we reflect on Tiferet Medina Yisrael. And he said, Visha amdalavaseinu v'lanu shalo echad bilvad amar aleinu l'chaloseinu. So Eima Banim Smeich says, lo echad bilvad amar aleinu l'chaloseinu. Amar aleinu l'chaloseinu, not one alone stands up to destroy us. So you know how he translates that or explains it? Shalo echad, when we are not one. Bilvad, that alone. Amar aleinu l'chaloseinu, that is perhaps the greatest threat to our integrity and our continuity and our strength as a nation. When we are divided, when we lack the echad bilvad. So that alone, Amar aleinu l'chaloseinu, and then we open the door, so to speak, to allow the umos ha'olav in. So I'm going to touch upon some very fascinating comments now of Rav Soloveitchik, specifically on Yom HaAtzmaut. Does anyone have questions or comments? You can feel free. Yes.
Concentration camps, they put numbers on people's arms to take away
to lose the identity. So another example, if you will, from modern day times of what they try to do to us. And perhaps they try to take away our identity, but they were not and will not be successful. We see it today with the enemy. They don't discriminate or distinguish. There's no age bracket for who they want to destroy. There's no gender bracket. There's no hashkafic bracket across the board. This week's precious Achrei Moses. And before I get to the comments of Rav Soloveitchik, I'm actually going to tell you the parsha summary and relate it to the parsha. But we're continuing with the theme of Yom HaAtzmaut / Yom HaZikaron, but I do want to tie it into the parsha a little bit. This week's parasha is Achrei Mos. Hashem, here we are moving through the book of Vayikra together. Hashem commands Moshe to instruct Aaron regarding the service of Yom Kippur, actually, the Yom Kippur Avodah. Two goats, one for Hashem to be brought as a korban, and the other famous Seir La'azazel, the Seir that ascended to the wilderness, pushed off the mountain, atonement for our sins. Then the parasha outlines a series of general warnings, the Isser of consuming blood, the requirement to cover the blood of a slaughtered animal. Interesting, because we just spoke about the requirement to cover the blood of, not the blood, the waste of a human being, v'haya machanecha kadosh. Everything that we do should be bekavadik. We are not allowed to consume animals that are not properly slaughtered, so it could be a kosher animal. I just saw in France, if that anti-Semite, Le Pen, Marie Le Pen, I believe her name is, of that anti-Semite, that Sona Yisrael, if she wins, she says one of the first things she's going to do is ban ritual slaughter, and she hides behind the facade of it's not against the Jews, blah, blah, blah. She wants to ban ritual slaughter. The animal has to be stunned before it is killed, before it is shechted, before it is killed. We are not allowed to consume an animal, says the Torah, that has not been properly shechted, even if it's a kosher animal. Detailed laws prohibiting immorality and arayus, which is forbidden sexual relationships, which is interesting, and we read this on Yom Kippur. Now, I'm going to quote four psukim from the parsha, actually. Let me just open up, please. Perek Yud Ches, for your own reference. Pasuk Chaf Dalet, 18:24. Okay, so right at the end of the parsha, that's the parsha summary, and you have all these forbidden relationships, things that we are not allowed to engage in. Again, V'haya Machanecha Kadosh. A Jew has to live a certain way, like a Jew, in everything we do. Someone told me, you know, it's so interesting, and I appreciate that she told me this. I was speaking once, a year and a half ago, V'haya Machanecha Kadosh. I'm not telling anyone here what to do. I'm telling you something for myself, how we can apply this to all aspects of our lives. So I was speaking at a certain venue. There were a lot of people there, and it was very hot, and it was during the 9 days, and I didn't have access to a cup, and I took a drink from a water bottle. That's all that I had. I thought I was going to pass out. I'm sure I wouldn't have really, but it was very hot. So after she called me, the organizer, really a lot of people there, and she told me in a nice way she needs to speak to me, and she said, it's not so nice to drink from a bottle. I'm not telling anybody here what to do. I'm not giving you mussar. I'm not passing halacha. I'm talking about bringing God and being sensitive and aware in all aspects of life. Like, you know, you're in the middle of battle. Like, really? I need toilet paper. I need a shovel. Like, that's what I'm thinking about. The tank's firing. That boy just died. He's left on the battlefield. I have to get back Hadar Golden from the tunnel who was schlepped away. Aron Shaul has never been returned. Where's Ron? I have to worry about the toilet paper and the shovel. Really? We have to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into all moments, aspects, situations in our life. So she called me, and I appreciate it. And she said to me, I was very embarrassed when she called me. Thank God it wasn't face-to-face. But I just want to make you aware, it's not so nice to drink from a bottle. You should always try and drink from a cup. So I thanked her for calling me. And since she called me, I try, believe I know, I'm not talking about it from a situation. I'm driving in the car. I have nothing to do. I'm not talking about the situation of pikuach nefesh. I'm talking about when I'm able to, I make an effort to drink from a cup. The only thing I like to drink not from a cup, I have one can of seltzer every day with my lunch, and I drink that with a straw, not directly from the can. What's very interesting is after she told me this, I read in the biography of Mordechai Gifter Zatzal, American Gadol, Rosh Shiva of Telz. He was once walking by a Talmud who was drinking from a can. And Rav Gifter said to him, a Ben Torah should drink from a cup. So I recently emailed this woman who called me. And I said to her, I want you to know, even when I'm home by myself, I make an effort to make sure that I drink from a cup. There has to be a certain sensitivity. Again, I'm not passing halacha. If you don't like it, fine. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not giving anybody mussar. I'm telling you a situation that I was makabel b'li neder upon myself. Because v'haya machanecha kadosh, yes, the toilet paper matters. Besides for the sensitivity in this tremendous Gaon in Torah for his Talmidim, some of whom, Rachman al-Litzlan, did not return from the battlefield. V'haya machanecha kadosh, ki Hashem l'kecha misalech b'kerev machanecha. Because God goes in the middle of our camp. So after listing all forbidden sexual relationships that we are not allowed to engage in. V'isha alachosa lo tikach, for example, a woman with her sister you cannot take, lagalus arvasa, to reveal her nakedness, v'alisha benidas tumasa lo tikra, lagalus arvasa, a woman when she is having her monthly cycle, when she is anida, you're not allowed to come close to her. The Torah demands from us sensitivity and kedusha in all aspects of life. Okay? Homosexual relationships are forbidden to arise. I don't want to get into it at all. I'm reading you a pasuk from the Torah. The Torah says it's a to'eva. You're not allowed to be intimate with an animal. So things that we would think we would never need to even be told, the Torah says, yes, you have to know how to be a holy nation. Okay? Interesting, the Achrimos is the prelude to which parsha?
Kedoshim
to you. So the Torah is very detailed. The Torah is very precise. The Torah does not mince words. We can't take out psukim that we don't like from here and say, I'll do everything else but this. It doesn't work like that. Okay. Al titamu b'chol eila. Do not become impure through all of these things, says the Torah. I'm reading you now four psukim from the end of Parshas Achrimos. Ki b'chol eila nitmu hagoyim asher ani mishalich mipanechem. Because in all of these, the nations who I am sending out before you became impure. We're going into Eretz Yisrael, which is a holy land. We're not allowed to behave in this way. Vatitama ha'aretz. The land becomes defiled. Ve'efkod avona aleha. And I recalled, I remember the iniquity upon it, the sin upon it. Vataki ha'aretz asil shver. The result of behaving in an inappropriate fashion in the holy land is the land will spit out its inhabitants. And you should guard my chukim and my mishpatim. You should not do all of these to'evos. Abominations, disgusting things. It's hard to translate to'eva. Okay? So all these to'evos, the people of the land did before you, the land became defiled. You don't want the land to spit you out when you defile it like it spit out the nations before you. Anyone who acts with these to'evos, v'nichrusu ha'nefashos ha'osos mikarev amam, whoever behaves like this is chayiv kares, they will be cut off from the midst of the people. You shall guard my covenant to do the chukim, don't do these to'evos. Over and over, the Torah warns us not to be engaged in these actions. Ani Hashem Elokei, I'm Hashem, your God. And with that, we move straight into Parshas Kedoshim. Okay, so I'm not going to go into it in depth because I spoke about it in a shir yesterday, which is up on YU Torah, but the Ramban on this passage, the Ramban to Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Chaf Hei, very, very lengthy Ramban. But I will tell you a brief excerpt because I want to move on to the comments of Rav Salavitchik. So the Ramban, who counts Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as one of the 613 mitzvahs, by the way, Ramban in Bamidbar 33, Perek Lamed Gimel, counts Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as one of the 613 mitzvahs. And the Ramban says in a very lengthy comment, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Chaf Hei here, speaks about the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Arts. In Chutz Arts, I'm telling you this, Aregal Achas, he says in Chutz Arts, there are heavenly ministers who rule over the land. Right? So America has some sort of heavenly minister. Canada, Australia, you're welcome to go look up the Ramban by yourself. And there are heavenly ministers. Not so Eretz Yisrael, says the Ramban. There's no heavenly minister. It is Nachash Hashem. It is the Emtza'ut HaYishuv Hashem. It is the Iker, where the Shechina dwells, and there's no minister ruling over Eretz Yisrael. There's no Tsar, or Shofet, or Kitzin. There's no captain or officer. Over Eretz Yisrael, God alone is in charge. This is what the Ramban says. In Chutz La'aretz, there are all these ministers ruling over the different lands, not so in Eretz Yisrael. So that means the jurisdiction, so to speak, of the Ribbono Shel Olam is much more intense over Eretz Yisrael than over Chutz La'aretz, because there's no Sar V'Shofet, there's no heavenly ruler, he says, as is known in astrology. The Ramban says in this passage, he quotes the famous Sifri, Kaladar B'Chutz La'aretz Ke'ilo Ein Lo Aloha, everyone who dwells in Chutz La'aretz is as if he does not have a God. He says, the whole time that you are in Eretz Canaan, I will be for you a God. When you leave, it's as if I am not your God. The Ramban further says there that Iker Asiyas HaMitzvos is for Yoshve Eretz Yisrael. The Iker, the main point, the essence of Asiyas HaMitzvos is for Eretz Yisrael. And he quotes the famous passage of Chazal that the reason we do mitzvos in Chutz La'aretz, what Chazal famously say, so we shouldn't forget them. So when you come back to Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be familiar. You know, you go into exile for 2,000 years and you haven't shaken a lulav and an esrog for 2,000 years and you were mafresh challah. Freshos challah, according to all opinions, the oraisa is only in Eretz Yisrael. So I'm going to come back and then I'm going to have no idea what it means, how to make a bracha be'isa, how to burn my challah, to give it to the Kohen. So therefore, the Ramban says, I'm talking very fast, I'm sorry. Are you okay? The Ramban, I just realized in the middle of the sentence, the Ramban says, Iker Asiyas HaMitzvos is in Eretz Yisrael, but keep them so you don't forget. Otherwise, how are you going to know what it means to do a freshos challah when you come back to Eretz Yisrael? So it's very, very powerful, powerful comments of the Ramban, really emphasizing the importance of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Asiyas HaMitzvos in Eretz Yisrael, and the Hashkacha, the level of divine providence in Eretz Yisrael over the level of divine providence in Chutz La'aretz. Okay? Now I want to quote from some insights of Rav Salavitchik on Yom HaTzmut. This is the Rav verbatim, transcribed by Rabbi David Holzer, on Yom HaTzmut in 1978. The Rav had a discussion with his Talmidim I'm not asking what you do. I'm not asking what your Rav told you to do. I'm going to quote the Rav. Specifically, he raised objections to reciting Hallel as said on Yom HaAtzmaut. Again, I don't want to get into any political discussion here. Everyone can ask their own rabbi. I'm not saying what's right and what's wrong. I am quoting the Rav, a discussion that he had in 1978. Although, says Rabbi Holzer, the Rav asked me not to record certain informal discussions. In this instance, he allowed me to record our discussion. So, the Rav Soloveitchik says, we spoke about Ish Halacha, him, his grandson, Rav Moshe Tversky. Quote, I don't believe you improve by doing things which are not based on halacha. He's specifically talking about halal on Yom HaAtzmaut. If you interpret tefillah in such terms, in such categories, as viewed through halacha, you can't simply walk over, take a sefer Torah out of the Aron Kodesh, and read on Yom HaAtzmaut a parsha which has not been ordained by the Chachmei HaMishnah. Okay, in regard to special of Torah read on Yom Kippur, it depends on the concept of tefillah. And Rav Soloveitchik says many of us have a concept of tefillah which is wrong. It's not a ceremony. It's not a performance. Quote, says Rav Soloveitchik, tefillah is the highest religious experience there is. When man comes through prayer and offers himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he asks God for all kinds of favors, parnasa, health, understanding, the restoration of Eretz Yisrael. And the next minute he says, take my desires, take me as a korban. Tefillah is not a childish performance. We cannot make changes as we see fit. I just want to point out that when we start to make changes to the tefillah, as the Chachamim instituted, we're on a very dangerous path. Someone told me she was in a certain not religious shul. She's been in not religious shuls for Simcha, she told me. And she says that in their text of Shemona Esrei, I've never seen a not Orthodox prayer book, right? In their text of Shemona Esrei, in Magen Avos, and Chazal say, you're not allowed to mention anybody else in the tefillah of Magen Avos besides for Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. You can't even put a Moshe and David and Aaron in there. Nobody. Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avos. So they add, well, what do you think they are?
Imahot.
The Imahot. They also talk about Sarah Rivka Rachelea. I could be very connected to Sarah Rivka Rachelea. I could be very inspired by Sarah Rivka Rachelea. I could want to go in the footsteps of Sarah Rivka Rachelea. But the halacha does not tell me to include Sarah Rivka Rachelea. Is our religion anti-feminist? Is our religion anti-woman? God forbid. Rav Shimshon Pinchas says the Jewish woman is the most important asset to Klal Yisrael. But you have to know our place. There's a woman's job, Chazal say, and there's the man's job. And when they're switched, you get into trouble. We can't make changes to tefillah, says Rav Soloveitchik. So Rav Soloveitchik brings up an interesting point. He says, why do people say halal? It was instituted for certain occasions. He says, the Shir Hamaloses, the 15 Shir Hamaloses, look at them. Please look at them. Sha'alu shalom yushalai mishlayu ahavayich. He shalom b'chelech, shavah b'mar nesayich. Hashem, Yerushalayim Harim, Saviv Lav, Hashem, Saviv La'amo, Beshuv Hashem, Eshuv Atzien, Hayinu Kechanim, Shir Amalus L'Shlomo, Im Hashem Lo Yivna, Bayit Shav, Amlu, Bonabo. All the Shir Amalus, says Rav Soloveitchik, revolve around Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. So choose the capitals of Tehillim, Shir Amalus, you don't need any better. Nicely, with taste. But he says the composition, he says, L'cha Dodi was said the night before in Yeshiva, on Yom HaAtzmaut. Soloveitchik says, I'm not preaching Chas V'Shalom, but there's Kavod HaTorah. There's dignity to Lomdei Torah, and I believe we spoke about some of that dignity today. B'haya Machanecha Kadosh, we don't leave waste in the camp, we have to cover the blood. I personally have taken upon myself, Bli Neder, not to drink from a can or a bottle when I can, Bli Neder. There's dignity to Lomdei Torah. Some official, he says, in the ministry has composed a program, so I have to follow him. Rav Soloveitchik says, Ishalach, I follow Chazal. I object to the fact the boys, he says, who are Lomdei Torah and Talmidei Chachamim, and then he says to the interviewer, I'm not trying to flatter you, a sense of dignity. And we have to act according to halacha. So they asked him, what would the Rav daven on Yom HaAtzmaut? What would I do? I would daven regular tefillah today. Hear what he said. You want to say Shir HaMalos? They have to do with Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. They all do. Open it up. He says, so that's what I would daven. What is the proper outlook? Rav Holzer asked him, and this was a recorded conversation, and the Rav allowed it to be recorded, regarding the founding of the state of Israel. There was a Yeshua, no doubt, a great Yeshua. After the Second World War, the whole horrors of the Churban were revealed to people. We were in a very bad position. The missionaries came. The assimilationists came out of their hiding place. They said, this is the result of the Jewish standard. This is what happens if you retain your Jewish identity. And if not for Medina Yisrael, says the Rav, imagine now, Rachmana Letzlan, God forbid, Medina Yisrael would be destroyed. The tidal wave of assimilation would inundate the whole diaspora. Okay, it could have been better. And this is also what Rav Kook says. Could it have been better than it is now? Guess what? Everybody could be better than they are now. Everything could be better than we are now. Do we write people off because it's not the best? But this does not mean, chas v'shalom, it's worthless. It's a great Yeshua. And we have to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he says something interesting. Listen to the next part. For my part, says the Rav, Yom HaShoah can be Yom Yerushalayim. I don't care about the date. There's no Kedushas Hayom. He talks very much about Kedushas Hayom when it comes to Yom Tov. The event of Medina Yisrael requires Shavach V'Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only on Yom HaAtzmut. On 365 days of the year. So if you want to know if there's Kedushas Hayom, there's no Kedushas Hayom. Pesach has Kedushas Hayom. Yom Kippur has Kedushas Hayom. Chanukah is by the sages, has Kedushas Hayom. Shavuot has Kedushas Hayom. He says Yom Atzmu, Yom Yerushalayim, it could be the same day. It was a great Yeshua. And it requires Shavach V'Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not on one day. On 365 days of the year. Rav Soloveitchik says, we have to remember the highest good in our hierarchy of values is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Saw something beautiful. Rav Meiselman, in his hesped for Rav Moshe Twersky, said a beautiful line. One of the things he says is, many people have different audiences in their life. Rav Moshe Twersky had one audience, the Almighty. Soloveitchik says, the highest good we have in our hierarchy of values is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The highest value is Torah. Yahadus does not revolve, he said, around the state. It revolves around God and Torah. I'm skipping. Our primary duty, says the Rav, wherever we live, is to cultivate a life of Torah, to study Torah, to observe and then pass on God's word. How this rhymes with Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is your job to find out. He actually used the word stupid and false. I don't even like to say the word stupid. It's false and stupid to say one who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael does not have Kedushas Yisrael. He says this is false. A person, wherever he lives, has to live with God as his audience, with Torah Yisrael as his audience. He says the Rambam might not have written Mishnah Torah if he had been in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. But I'm not going to say the Rambam didn't fulfill the mitzvahs. And he says, I would be out of a job if the Rambam didn't write the Mishnah Torah. Right? I'm skipping. So they asked him about this Ramban. Give me 2 minutes, please. They asked him, should I, 2 minutes, or you want me to finish? You want me to stop in mid-sentence? Okay. So they asked him about this Ramban, where the Ramban says, which I just quoted to you, which is in Parshas Achrim, whoever lives outside of Eretz Yisrael as if he doesn't have a God. And the Ikar Yeshiva says, is Ikar Mitzvos, implying that everything we do outside of Eretz Yisrael is only so that we remember that there's no sanctity or value to our Mitzvos outside of Eretz Yisrael. I knew that Ramban before you were born, says Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Kook came out with that Ramban as if the only one to know the Ramban. I sweated it out. It's a difficult sifri, as quoted by the Ramban. Bachovas HaMitzvos Echutz Art is not to be considered a prologue or an introduction to Kiyam. Chovos HaMitzvos in Chutz La'aretz is not considered a prologue or introduction to Kiyam HaMitzvos in Eretz Yisrael. A Jew who takes an Esrog in Chutz La'aretz has the same reward as a Jew who takes an Esrog in Eretz Yisrael. It's a difficult Ramban, but don't frighten me with it, he said. What should we do, Bizman Hazah? 2 more short paragraphs. First of all, says the Rav, be good Jews. Spread Torah. Knowledge of Torah. No matter where he lives. Support Eretz Yisrael. If he can move to Eretz Yisrael, move. So then they asked him, last question. Is the destiny of Yerushalayim closer to fulfillment since HaKamas HaMedina? And the 69 years since the state of Israel, are we closer to the fulfillment, to destiny, to Melech HaMashiach? And the Rav says, I will give you the answer which Melech HaMashiach gave Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Gemara tells us Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi met Melech HaMashiach in the market. And he asked him, Masechet Sanhedrin, when are you finally coming? So Melech HaMashiach said, Hayom, today. To which Rabbi Yeshua said, Hayom, today. To which Melech HaMashiach responded, Hayom, im bekolo tishmu. I'm coming today. If you listen to the voice of God, the matter of Geula, says the Rav, depends entirely on Knesset Yisrael. So Be'ezras Hashem, we should be zocha that our days of mourning do not demand of us tzimtzum, but rather true, unbridled joy. We should be zocha that all the pain in the places of mourning turn to places of redemption. We should be cognizant and remember the Kedoshim not only on Yom HaZikaron, but on every day. Their sacrifices, the lives lost. We should remember and give thanks for Medina Yisrael every day, not only on one day, and to remember that the matter depends entirely on us. V'haya machanecha kadosh ki Hashem elokecha mishalich bekarav machanecha. Shubizocha tosher simchas az yamale yischok pinu ushalneinu rina. Amen v'amen, ladies. Thank you. Any questions?
Amen.